Hey, what's up, everybody? We're the Flippin' Flippers.
Your weekend hangover podcast.
And I'm Coach Paul.
And I'm Esteban.
You sound like you should be talk radio.
Talk radio. So only when I do the voice, though.
Yeah, we're live together right now.
We're live together. Yeah.
You know what
they
say.
We're holding hands. Not really.
No. We can hold hands right now. This is fun, though, because we never record together.
Yeah, ever, first time ever.
So, we got a lot on the docket today. We got a special guest.
Yep.
Dylan McCurchy.
Dylan.
Dylan McCurchy. Sounds like a Mighty Ducks player.
Yeah, that's right. We were watching Mighty Ducks 2.
Yeah, Mighty Ducks 2. Not Mighty Ducks 1. Those are normal names.
Yes.
Mighty Ducks 2 is all crazy names. And then, we'll just, I don't know, do our thing.
We'll do our thing. Yep. Yeah, so we got this interview with Dylan. Pretty awesome. Super awesome guy. And you'll definitely hear a bunch of his thoughts on guitars and a little bit about his story, but more of
the company and
and like the product. He sent us a guitar to play, which I thoroughly enjoyed playing. In the interview, you'll hear that I thought the pickups were too clear, and that it made me question my guitar skills.
That is pretty hilarious. Yeah. He's like, "Is there a way to make them less clear, because I feel like I keep messing up."
Yeah.
It is so good.
It was good. And if you guys notice, the title is called Flippin' 15.
That's not the title.
Of the episode.
That's not the title of the episode.
Yeah, Flippin' 15.
No, that's the coupon code.
I know, but that's why we're going to title
the Let's argue about it live.
Flippin' 15.
All right, so the coupon code is Flippin15. If you guys want to buy anything, and he said anything, on Dylan Pickups or DylanGuitars.com. So he didn't care if it was a custom guitar, or if it was a guitar, or if it was pickups, anything.
Replacement parts,
t-shirts, whatever you want to buy. 15% off, which is pretty rad.
Flippin15, FLIPPIN15.
So that probably kind of maybe will be the name of the episode, maybe.
Oh, maybe. I'm right for once.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see what happens.
That's right.
So I get to do the edits this week, so we'll see.
All right, well, without further ado, here's the interview. Ba-na-na-na. All right, well, we got Dylan from Dylan Guitars here.
And Dylan Pickups.
From the Dylon. Sorry, I don't know if you like that. I've always liked the Chappelle Show, and those dialogue skits always get me going.
Who's the greatest rapper alive, right?
Dylon.
That's right.
Awesome. So, man, you were on the Clifton Worley show a few weeks ago, almost maybe a month ago, and I recommend anybody to listen to that. It was really good and had a lot of kind of your background and your musical background. So we wanted to talk a little bit more, you know, about your specific product and stuff. So and when a lot of the podcasts kind of like overlap, so we try not to do the same thing as other ones. So but I guess if you want to talk a little bit about your backstory, how you kind of got into doing pickups and guitars, you're more than welcome to, but you don't have to go in great detail like on, you know, Clifton's had a little bit more.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been playing since I was a kid and taking stuff apart and putting it back together. And I just got to the point where, well, long story short, I needed to make a career change because I used to ride motorcycles for a living and I busted myself up. So I had to come up with a lower impact way to make a living. And this was something that I've always done and loved anyway. And I was like, well, let's just get back to the music. So
nice.
I had a couple other businesses. I sold those and just kind of got back to music. I mean, that's the short.
Sure.
Notes version.
No, that's awesome. Now, you started with pickups specifically, right?
We did. We started with pickups, and our main focus for a long time was building for small luthiers. So, you know, guys that build 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 guitars a year.
Sure.
You know, we build for a lot of those guys because we don't charge extra tooling costs to, you know, say, hey, well, what if you wound it this way or changed magnets or, you know, we don't, as long as I can pull parts off the shelf, pretty much we don't. You know, we don't really charge extra tooling stuff. So a lot of those guys really like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really good.
And then, of course, you know, a lot of retail. But then, in addition to that, I was kind of partners with another guitar company, and just creatively, I just wanted to do something else. And so I just was like, you know what? I'm going to have to put my name on my own peghead, and we're just going to have to do it. And I didn't do it on purpose. It was, I had a couple of friends that wanted a guitar, and they're like, well, if you put your own name on the peghead, I want one. And, you know, then it was one guitar, then it was two guitars, then it was five guitars, then it was 15 guitars. And, you know, so it just kind of kept going.
No, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Because I was going to ask, actually, I wrote down, how did you make the switch from pickups to guitars? But so you kind of beat us to it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had designed with another company, and, you know, I had a lot of other stuff that I designed for another company as far as more modern takes on classic designs and stuff. And I'm really a Tele guy, so I really love Teles. And the other thing is, I wanted to make the jump to renewable and alternative materials.
Okay.
And because I believe that there is a reason and a need and a place in the market for that. And so I just wanted to do it. And that was one of the things that I needed to put my own name on it to make that happen. So that was, and that's pretty important to me, not from like a hippie standpoint, but just from, I think the market needs it. So,
sure. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, it's fine if you're a hippie, that's fine. We're not going to judge you.
I think you would, in my brain, I think you would thrive in Athens, Ohio, which is where I'm from. I'm currently in New York visiting Paul, but, cause like we have like a huge, like not a hippie community, but like a real, like, I like to call it granola, like a full granola community.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
And, but like the thing is, like, I didn't know this until we actually had Cole Duke on the show, but like we have Stumac, and I didn't know what Stumac was until like a couple months ago. Oh, and I drive by it every single day, and I was like, oh, Stumac. Oh yeah, Stumac. And my friend's like, oh, the, and then he's like, told me exactly what it was. And I was like, oh, I saw it was like this building. Awesome. I was like, I saw it was this building that like, cause I would always see like delivery trucks. So I was like, oh, they just send packages out, which I guess is true, but I didn't know what kind of packages they sent out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But if your product was like shared up in Athens, I think it would do well with the people there.
Well, my whole idea is that I know that everybody on the internet wants to think that, and I kind of get, people give me a hard time for it, but everybody wants to think that they're a super tone junkie and that they should be all into finishes and nitro and, you know, vintage this and that and everything. And the guitar makers want to legitimize themselves by being more of all of that. But the bottom line is, I don't care. And most kids younger than me don't care. And my kids aren't going to care.
Right.
And so if you're going to be in business for a long time, you got to know who to sell a guitar to. And it can't be all the old guys that are going to die. I mean, the bottom line is, this is just kind of calling it how it is.
Right.
All the old guys that love that stuff are going to die soon. All the babies. So if I've, then I don't have anybody to sell guitar to.
Yeah. So, once all the baby boomers are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, our market really is, and we kind of have a unique place in the market because we're a boutique builder that builds a guitar anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000, which is under a lot of the other boutique.
Sure, builders. Yeah, that's very reasonable.
And well, the idea behind that is that if you have an Ibanez RG that you paid $400 for and you want to upgrade it, and then you buy, I don't know, like a used Strat, and then you want, you know, and so you pay $1,200 or whatever for a used custom shop something, you know, AVRI something, and then you're like, you know, I want a real custom guitar. You don't have to jump to $5,000.
Right, right.
So that's where I think I'm building a market where 10 years from now, the 13-year-old kid today who is looking at pictures on the internet, I'm gonna be his upgrade guitar, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
You know? So that's what we're doing.
Nice. Now, when you talked about, your renewable materials, now what specifically are you talking about on your guitars? So what kind of things are you doing to stay in that, quote unquote, renewable materials?
Okay. First of all, we'll talk fretboards. We do not use rosewood and we do not use ebony anymore.
Okay.
The guitar we sent you has a Richlite fretboard on it. And a lot of people want to say that cheap guitars, quote unquote cheap guitars, put Richlite on them to save money. But I'm proposing that that is just as a boutique of material as anything else. And it gives you, honestly, better service than real wood. So, and all the tone freaks are going to say whatever they're going to say. But the bottom line is I can leave my guitar in the car and my frets aren't going to get sharp.
Sure.
So there's some very practical reasons to use it. Also because we're not using real ebony, we're not worried about all that stuff. And then, of course, the CITES regulations this year that came out in the beginning of the year really put the change on rosewood anyway. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to use it anymore. And I feel like one of the things I've seen happen in the industry in the last even 6 weeks is that if a guitar builder is really holding to his guns and wanting to use all that exotic stuff, they're going to hurt themselves in the end because for a small guitar builder like me to sell a guitar to a guy in Canada or in England, it's not cost effective for me to use rosewood. So instead of holding to that, like, we only use blah, 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 then I'm going to be flexible and continue to have an international market. On top of the fact that Pale Faro, which is what we're using as a replacement, is really, really cool. And we're using reclaimed walnut, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And as far as the bodies go, we're using a wood called European linden on a few models, which is... it's basically basswood. Like if you cross basswood and alder, that's what you would get. And we're basically, I'm here to say there's nothing wrong with basswood. And if you think there is, then it's an unfounded tone snobbery. That just
right. Totally. Away. Yeah.
Tone snobbery. It's flipping tone snobbery.
Exactly. And I'm, you guys have seen some of the conversations I've got.
Oh, totally.
I'm not going to mince words about it. Like, if you're a tone snob and you think that this is not for you, then go buy a guitar somewhere else. That's fine. But, this is what we're going to stick to. And I believe in it. And I know that other people should believe in it. You should close your eyes and just play.
Right.
And it will be good. It will be awesome. And the guitars are lighter and they're renewable resources. We're coming out in the next couple months with a completely renewable modern guitar. It's going to be very similar to, you'll just have to see. I have to credit Aaron from Gear Slum for giving me the idea because he's like, you need to do lime green or crazy orange or some of these other modern colors. And so we're going to do some stuff like that. We're going to do some modern
colors.
Cool,
nice.
Modern cuts on classic bodies, and they're all going to be completely 100% renewable stuff, and they're all going to be $1,800.
Cool, that's awesome.
So,
man.
I just want to create a new space. That's all it is.
Right.
I'm just going to create a new space.
No, and so you sent us that guitar, and without looking at any spec sheets and just plugging it in and playing it, like, I wouldn't have been able to tell. I'm not one of those guys that's in saying, hey, this wood sounds better, or, this wood resonates better, or, you to get this tone, you got to have a rosewood fretboard, or, nothing like that. It just doesn't fall in my wheelhouse. I just think it's crazy. And, I'm really I understand the idea, you know, good amp, good pickups, boom. That's where you start, you know? And like so many people are just like, oh, the body, you don't have the right body. I'm like, you know, I've heard guys play some crazy stuff and making their own guitars and they have really good pickups and it sounds good. So it's like, right, you're kind of wrong, you know, but I mean, people believe what they want to believe. And sometimes I think that's marketing too. People just push that, you know, and it's kind of like the same thing as like the P-Dubs website where, you know, this pedal sounds so much better. You all have to have it. And then they just kind of push it, you know, and I just don't want it, you know. But your guitar sounds great. Actually, I really like the pickups a lot. And I mean, it played great. When I got my hands on it, I was like, you know, without knowing a value, you could feel it wasn't like a $400 guitar. It wasn't a cheaply made guitar. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It played and you're like, wow, this is a sweet guitar. This plays really good, you know? And one thing I have to say out of the box, if you send out all your guitars set up the way that this is set up, people just love them because, I mean, the setup out of the box, it was amazing. I was like, this is probably the best setup guitar I've ever played.
Well, and to be honest with you, that guitar was at a dealer. And I went and grabbed it from a dealer and threw strings on it. I didn't touch the setup. That is how we set them up. And that is honestly like a testament to that neck. That is like a testament to the materials that we're using in our overall setup and how we build the stuff. Yeah. And then the setup stays. Like, it just stays.
Yeah, I mean, it had a Bigsby on it.
Up and I was like, I set this guitar up 2 months ago, and then I threw a set of strings on it, and it was perfect.
Right.
Still. Right, yeah, it felt good.
Yeah, the fact that it had a Bigsby on it, too, and it was just, I mean, it just stayed in tune. I didn't have to tune it when I pulled it out of the box. You know, when I pulled it out of the case, it was perfect. I was like, this is awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, because as you all know, from many of the pages and such, I'm a you could put a Bigsby on anything and it'll stay in tune guy. And everybody always argues with me about that, but it can be done. It's totally doable.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you lived local, I would just take all my guitars to you because I can do a setup and I can do it. Okay. But this was different. I was like, this is much better.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, man.
I came up and I played it I played the guitar for about like 30 minutes. And I was like, there's one thing I don't like about these pickups. And Paul's like, what? I was like, it's too clear. It picks up all my mistakes. because I really, like, it was like a really distinct sound. Cause I was like, you know, like you play pickups, like I'm not a treble guy. Like I love like those warm, like kind of muddy tones.
Yeah.
And so like when I was playing, I was like, it sounds like I'm playing acoustic. Like, cause like the pickups are so clear. And so then this leads to a question I had, so if you're like building a guitar for someone, like, is it possible to like make the pickup so it picks up more like mid and bass tones, like, you know, qualities and like less and have it be less trebly, or is it like,
oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool. I just asked cause I didn't know, but it was something I was wondering. Cause like I have really sensitive hearing. So like, sometimes when I'm always on like the middle position tone, like rolled down to muddy. Cause I was like, this is what I like. It's just personally what I like, but I just didn't know if like, if someone wanted like pickups a specific way or like more treble, less low end, if that was possible as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
So what pickups were in that Tele? Cause that might be next on my list. I like those a lot.
Okay, those pickups are Dylan pickups flat sixes. Those are my version. I took a 1966 Telecaster.
Okay.
And I had to do some work on it. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to make these because they're my favorite pickups I've ever heard. Except that they're flat pulls instead of staggered pulls. That's the only difference.
Okay, yep.
Because you don't need... With a more modern fretboard radius, you do not need staggered pulls. So that's what they are.
Nice.
The trick with those is the neck, they're Alnico 5s. The neck pickup is hotter than the bridge pickup.
Okay.
A lot of the pre-CBS and CBS transition pickups, like in the mid-60s, were like that. So I think that one's like 7.4K in the neck. And like 6.7K in the bridge. So, and to your earlier point about the pickups being super bright, that's one of the reasons they're super clear, but they don't like rip your head off. They're not you know, some Tele pickups you just are like, oh my god, that's so, you know, it hurts my ears. But,
right. Like if you plug in a Squire Tele, a lot of times you're like, oh my gosh, please kill me, because it's just so
kill
freaking,
me now,
it's
Lord.
So freaking right.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference between clarity and like rip your head off
track. Yeah, right. Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we used in-ears this week at church, and I had cheap headphones because I haven't bought good ones yet, and I just wanted to kill myself because they were just – it was so much trouble. I was like, please kill me. So I was like, all right, I got to go buy nice headphones, but totally know exactly what you're saying.
Yep. And then that pickup, that guitar has – the other thing that lends itself to a little bit brighter is it has 500K pots in it, and it has
okay.
A 0.047 orange drop cap. And it has audio taper pots. So the tone knob, the idea there is, yeah, it's a lot of clarity, but that tone knob goes really, really dark. And
right.
So the idea there is you can take it away, but you can't put it back. So I like to build my guitars to where the clarity is there. And if you want to darken it, it'll go darker. But once you build a guitar to be dark, you can't put clarity back into it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Makes sense.
So, you know, that's kind of the thing there.
Right. And would it be possible to like, because for me, again, I'm not a fan of that clarity. So I like the clarity. I just don't like, we were having dinner and like, there's like a bunch of noise going on. And like one of the kids asked something and I like answered them. And Paul's like, man, he's like, okay, Mr. Here's everything. I was like, yeah, it's a curse. Like, I hear everything. So would it be, like, possible to still have there be clarity, but, like, have it be more, like, darkness than clarity? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's just there's two things to that. It's a magnet choice and a wine count choice. It's
Gotcha.
Super,
okay.
Super simple. Yeah, super easy. And so when we build a guitar for somebody, that's, you know, a lot of what we do is just ask all those questions. A lot of times I'll find out what gear they play through, what amp they play through, what position is their favorite, what their favorite overdrive pedal is.
Right. The BB preamp. How they
use it. Like if you're an on 10 all the time guy and you do all your EQing with your pedals, that's one guy. You know, I set my amp at one setting and I use my volume and tone knobs for everything.
Right, so, yeah.
It just kind of depends on what, you know, and then I have a Kemper, so I can kind of build, once I know what your rig is, then I'll kind of build that rig in at least general terms, you know, because there's rat drives and there's TS9 drives and there's, you know what I mean? And
yeah, rat, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's
yeah.
AC30 Marshall Fender, more or less.
Yeah.
And Matchless Chieftain. And just kidding.
So, there was a little bit of a delay on that, I'm sure, but that's hilarious.
So, you know, that's so I'll build a guy's rig kind of at home and I'll play guitars that I already have sitting around and decide which direction I should go to get him what he wants out of what he has. That's why I bought a Kemper, was to do that, to be able to kind of build your rig in my own house and be able to say, okay,
right,
let me pull off one of my guitars off the wall and say, all right, does this guy want a hotter pickup than what's in here? And I use those flat sixes as my baseline cool. for Tele stuff. And then we use our DAFs for humbuckers for our baseline, which is like a vintage PAF line.
Right.
And then I just kind of adjust either way from there, depending on what the guy wants. You know.
Nice, nice. Now, roughly around how many guitars are you doing a year right now?
So far in 2017, it's averaging almost one guitar a week.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good. Yeah. That's really good.
Well, for a small builder, that's huge.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
If we build 50 guitars this year, I'm going to be...
Yeah, that's awesome, man. You know, because there's some guys that are making rad stuff, but they're doing, you know, one guitar a month or, you know, mm-hmm. one guitar every 3 months.
Right. Yep. We have some cool stuff coming up. We're one of my problems is try to zone it in. It's, you know, it's do what we do best, you know.
Sure.
So we're going to do some pretty cool stuff. I just posted yesterday. We're going to actually do a Les Paul Jr. It's going to be a standing model that you're going to be able to buy. It's going to be a Les Paul Jr. with Tele everything.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be a 25 and a half inch scale, 6 in line peg head. It's going to be either Pale Faro or Rich Light or Maple. And it's going to be all Tele hardware, but in the Les Paul Jr. body. And then we'll be able to pick. The bridge pickup is always going to stay the same. It's always going to be a Tele pickup. But you're going to be able to pick a humbucker, a P90, or a Tele in the neck.
Cool.
Or a Filtertron, I guess, if you want to do a Filtertron. So that's going to be cool. And then it'll probably be, I mean, at some point we'll probably be able to, or we will, I guess, at any point, really, be able to add a Bigsby to it if you want.
Nice.
Anything like that. So, but Bigsbys are really the only vibrato that I really like to use, except for Strat stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. But, yeah, man, it's cool.
Cool. No, that's awesome. So, so with our show, I mean, we're really into flipping gear and selling it. That's what we've always been about. You know, buy low, sell high, you know, type deal. Or, you know, we talked about this in the past, just that, you know, like, you know, I used to play Squires and then I flipped into like Mexican Teles and then I flipped into like, you know, American stuff. And, you know, but I was able to use, you know, what we flip to like fund, you know, other means, you know, like better.
Oh, absolutely.
Better
I think we all do that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I was curious more of how you feel on that, on your end, seeing like for instance, you pop on Reverb and then you see your guitar for sale on Reverb that you built for somebody. How do you feel about that? What is something that, you know, how does that affect you?
Well, you know, we have two different kind of ways going there. So, you know, at DillonPickups.com, obviously we sell pickups.
Sure.
Sell upgrade parts. So we have and a lot of people don't know this because we just rolled it out last month, but we have a whole line of replacement parts. So pickups and bridges and saddles and Bigsby's and all this kind of stuff. So I'm a huge proponent of the buy a cheap guitar and fix it up.
Sure.
Thing, you know, so because obviously that's honestly really what pays the bills is that stuff.
Oh, okay, cool. So, cool.
Yeah, I'm really a super big. We make way more pickups than we make guitars. So
yeah,
I'm really a super big proponent of. I think there was a post on one of the groups today or yesterday talking about a P90 Gold Top Epiphone thing, and he's like, should I put a couple hundred bucks in it? And I'm like, yeah, put a couple hundred bucks in it. And people were saying, well, yeah, but then you know value, and I'm like, it's your guitar.
Yeah, like who cares if you like it?
Spend the money on it. And then if you want to sell it, chuck the old, it takes an afternoon, chuck the old parts back in it.
Yep, totally.
You know, and put them in something else, you know, especially, you know, if you like it and you use them on something else. And then on the guitar side, that honestly used to annoy me. When I first started building them, it sort of hurt my feelings. I was like, I just built this for you.
Right, and you don't like it. Right, and you don't like it.
And my wife's like, said to me one day, she's like, that's another person bought it because they like it. And it's another person's hands now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's your audience just got wider.
Sure.
It didn't get narrower. And that is truly how I feel about it. I mean, I've followed one guitar, through, I don't know, two or three sales. And then those guys call me up and say, hey, I want you to build me something too. So it used to, I was like, oh, that sort of bums me out. But I love the fact that my stuff is getting passed around.
Right. It's not going in a shredder.
No, it's kind of cool. I mean, everybody's passing there and they're all playing it. Just play it. That's all I care. Just play it. It doesn't matter.
And like,
you gave it away. Just play it.
Totally. And people do things like, you know, they buy stuff and then all of a sudden, you know, things happen, you know, and they're like, crap. So on that side, you're kind of like, okay, well, you might be frustrated with it, but, you know, that guy had a medical bill come up or something. You don't even know, you know, so I can
tell you the truth. A lot of the chronic, we'll call it chronic because it's an illness. A lot of the chronic flippers are guys, you know, people that flip gear are just going to want the next one anyway.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
Like that particular guitar I'm talking about, I think it's on to the third owner now. But I'm also building the original owner his third guitar right now. So, you know, so it's okay. Yeah. And the second guitar that I built for that guy has been sold to another guy who wants to buy a guitar for me. So, yeah. You know,
some people are just never satisfied too.
Yeah. And there's always the quest of the next thing.
Right.
And I support the next thing because if that's me, especially, or if it's just helping somebody else, I always tell people, I mean, our thing is to help people sound good. That's sure. What we do. So if that means you call me and you say, I'm looking at somebody else's guitar, can you tell me if it's good or not? I'll still answer that question. I don't care. I just want you to make a good decision. That's all.
Cool. No, that's awesome. That's a great attitude about it. And like talking about, you know, for instance, like when Amazon had that Gibson M2, I bought one of those. Mm-hmm. Now I think that guitar is a decent guitar. It's nothing to, you know, sell all your other guitars and this is your one, but it's a fun guitar. I modded it. I put new tuners on it and new pickups, and I think it's great. But, like, you know, Ryan Burke played one and did a demo on it on 60 Cycle Hum and was like, this thing is a piece of garbage. And I was like, well, not really. Like, it's great. And that was actually Aaron Abubo, who you talked about. That was his that he demoed. And then yep. Aaron said, I put new pickups in it, and now I love it. So, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes people just really go on these tangents of they have to have the most expensive, coolest thing for it to be good, which isn't necessarily true.
No, exactly. That's a big thing, is just because it's expensive, it doesn't necessarily make it better.
Sure.
And like I said, I'm a huge proponent of buy a cheap guitar and fix it up. I don't collect. I mean, you know, I build them, obviously, but I don't really collect guitars. But the guitars I collect are cheap.
Okay, cool. Purpose.
So I will, you know, I've had, I don't know, 3 or 4 Silvertones this year or last year. You know, I like the old student guitars from a long time ago.
Okay.
Because they have more character, in my opinion. You know, Tyskos.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those are super awesome. Yeah, for sure. Super
fun stuff. So I've always been like a – and the other thing, too, is all guitars were cheap guitars. So, you know, the 59 Les Paul was only $280. When it was new, whatever, and it was just guitar. All parts and everybody, him, like, Ooze and Oz about were just guitars.
Right, you know, exactly, yeah.
You know, the $10,000 66 Tele was just an American Standard Tele. That's all it was. It was just guitar. Right. So even thinking about that, it's like, it doesn't have to be, I mean, no slam on, like, you know, Veritas or Anderson. Because those things are amazing when you play them, but you don't have to have that, or you're not gonna miss out on who you are and what you sound like because you don't have one.
Right.
I'm incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know, right. Your rig is not incomplete because your pedal board doesn't cost.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that we talked about that last week and like on an episode before where we talked about like don't really. It doesn't matter what other people think. You just buy what you like, even if it's like Chinese or, you know, just like some clones. Like if you like the way it sounds, it's like it's your board. It's not anyone else's board or it's not anyone else's gear. Like just buy a crap you like and don't care what other people say.
Yep. No, it's funny for me to even be, I think it's really cool you guys called me to be a part of it because you know what you're doing because we don't, I don't want to sound weird, but we're not on the list. Like when somebody says, what pickup should I buy?
All right. Yeah.
You know, there's 4 other guys that get mentioned and we never get mentioned, which I don't care because I just like building this stuff.
And right. If
you find us, you're going to keep buying them because they are right. That good. So it's okay.
You just need a Jamie Davis.
To be ridiculous and troll everything. I'm working on getting me a Jamie Davis. I sent him some stuff. Just to tease him. Actually,
just to tease him.
He's trolling the biggest troll of them all.
That's right.
I think I sent him some guitar picks and some stickers or something. He said something. It was like, you know, I'll make these posts like, this guitar is going out tomorrow to its new owner. And he put his address.
That's funny.
He put his address in a comment. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to send him some stuff.
I remember that. Yeah, because he posted that you sent him stuff. He's like, you shouldn't post your stuff on the internet.
Yeah, because like, without the, like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So I did that.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome.
No, I just like helping people out. All this other stuff, it'll come along, and we build guitars, and we build cables, and we build pickups, but, you know, in all the groups and stuff, it's all about, to me, social media, to me, is just all about helping everybody out, and making sure that somebody doesn't accidentally spend $100 when they could have avoided it, or, that's all I care about. And the YouTube channel, that's a huge thing for us. We put a lot of time and money and work into our YouTube channel to do that very thing. So that is a big deal for us to just be able to help people. It's so fun when somebody sends me a message and is like, oh, I watched your How to Set Up a Floyd Rose video and, you know, now I'm not pulling my hair out. You know,
yeah, changed my life. Right, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that makes my day more than, you know, parts keep the lights on, but the interaction like that is super fun. That part is super fun.
Yeah, and the page is awesome. Like, you know, I've definitely watched videos and then went, okay, I need to bookmark this and then I need to pay attention more next time, you know, and like go back to it, you know, because like, especially like you, I think you did like a setup or I think it was just like on your setup and I was like, oh, okay, all right. I need to write that down. And then I forget about it and good thing I bookmarked it so I can go back, you know.
Yep, and now we're doing a radio show on Monday nights on an online radio station, and then we're doing a video to go with each show. So, like, if we talk about guitar setup, then that week we do a video to go with that radio show.
Nice.
You know, plus some other stuff. We're going to start reviewing products. But we're not going to just be, you know, I mean, Captain Anderton and John Bollinger and those guys, those guys have reviews on Block. I mean, those guys,
that's their thing. Totally.
Yeah. So we're going to do it a little different. We're going to, I don't know if you saw the thing we posted the other day. It was kind of fun. The 4 reasons to not buy a camper.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. It was awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to do some fun things like that. I really want to take stuff from a technical standpoint more so, like, more of a, this is not this is why I think you should buy this or these are all the features, but okay, this is an overdrive pedal. It has big time mid-range bump right here. If you have this amp, you may not like it. If you have this amp, you might
right like it. Because yeah, that's awesome.
What the gain structure does, not, you know, this is the shiny new thing, I think you should go have it, but really, what is the purpose? What is the intention of the pedal by the manufacturer, number one? And did they hit that intention? And number three, where does it fit into your particular board?
Right.
And it may not.
And usually that's the case. That's why reverb's even popular. You know, it's because, you know, right. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, everybody sees this demo that's put out by, you know, Pro Guitar. And then, like, he's using a different amp and a different guitar, and you put it on your board, and you're like, that's not – I don't like it.
Right.
You know, like, I don't like it. And it's like, well, you just bought it, so why don't you give it a shot and see if there's somewhere that you do like it. I mean, it's crazy because you see stuff ship. Like, say it comes out on Friday, you see stuff listed on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, of people just trying to sell it. And it's like, you haven't even given it a shot yet. Like, you give it a couple weeks. See if you like it, you know?
Yep, and our intention is – to actually hire guitar players, because, you know, I play guitar, but I always tell everybody that I am better at making you sound good than I'm making me sound good. So
nice. I'm going to start saying that too. It's not true, but I'm going to say it.
We're going to start hiring guitar players. Like if it's a shreddy pedal, I'm going to get a shreddy guy.
Nice.
And we're going to show people what this is supposed to do. And because that's one of the faults of some of the reviewers is, like, nothing against the whole Anderton thing, but Rob Chapman is a shredder. So right. If there's a jazzy thing or a bluesy thing, he's still a shredder. And John Bollinger is a country player. So what I want to try to do is kind of do the different where if it's leans one way or another, I want to get the right guy for the job and have
right
play, you know, the right stuff. So we're putting the review side of it together a little bit. I want to be real careful with it because I don't want to just be, we're selling this pedal for this guy. I want it to actually serve a purpose. We don't want to just be another pedal review page because that's not what fits the rest. Well, you see the educational part of what we do for the rest of it. So I want it to really flow along the same with that. So that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good idea.
Right now. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. What I like about everything you're telling us is it's not just, hey, we make pickups or hey, we make guitars. It's like you're making almost like a one-stop shop, but it's like everything encompasses your grander picture, like your bigger idea, you know? And I think that's a really good concept, you know, instead of just saying build this.
I think that's the way people should buy gear. I think people micro look at stuff so much that they buy a pedal and they don't zoom out and look at the rest of their gear. So,
right.
What I kind of want people to do is watch our videos, call me, ask me questions, Facebook message me, whatever. And if a guy has a whole rig and if he does nothing, even if he doesn't buy anything from me, but he has like a checklist of notepad of this is what I need to do to get where I want to go, then my job is done, even if he didn't buy anything for me. You know, that's what's most important. And he'll come back in the end. That always comes back, so I don't worry about it. You know, even if he doesn't buy from me today, he'll be like, well, I went around and I bought all this stuff, but now I'm down to just needing the right bridge pickup.
Sure.
Come back and buy, you know, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Or a cable. I don't care.
Yeah. And even then, you know, he's like, hey, listen, dude, check out my board. I reset it up. I watched this video. And then that spreads too. You know, like his friend might check out your video and then he's like, oh, I like that pickup.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I just don't want to be known for the guy that's, you know, spamming up the internet with I sell everything all the time because that's not what I do.
Right.
That really is not me. That's not what we do. We help people build their tone. That's, you know, it's just so happens that I make the parts that, you know, our motto for Dylan Pickups is when off the shelf doesn't, just won't do, you know? So really special and work and serve a purpose, but like I said, all I care is that a guy makes a checklist and he feels better about his tone at the end of the week. You know, that's all I really care.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Well, I think that's a good, point to end off, but, man, you do make a nice guitar. We had a lot of fun playing it. We'll send it back to you, I promise. And, I don't want you to send me a bill for it. My wife will kill me. But, yeah. Guys, go check him out, DylanPickups.com, DylanGuitars.com. I think you'll really enjoy his stuff.
Yeah, and I would say the one thing I would definitely ask is go subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if you're not looking for something to buy, I don't care.
Yeah, we'll definitely link it. I don't even care about it.
Yeah, we'll put it all on there in the notes and everything for you.
And also on the Facebooks.
Awesome.
Cool, man. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no worries. I'm glad you guys asked me about it.
Definitely. Our pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you later, man. Yeah. So, cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
So,
super cool guy. Down to earth.
Yeah. I like that
Josh Marmon laugh kind of.
Oh, yeah. 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 I wonder if he drinks. He's probably a big coffee drinker.
Yeah.
He totally is. Yeah.
I don't drink coffee. I'm not cool enough.
Yeah. Well, I need it out of necessity. So, because I'm sure during the whole entire interview, you heard the 18 kids that are living at my house right now. So, Esteban included.
That's right. I'm chunky.
The oldest kids. Yeah, three kids. You do the math. You'll figure out. You know, we do kids by knobs. We figure out how many knobs, and then that figures out the dollar amount. It's good. Right. Yep, that's right. So, but yeah, so what's new with you, man?
Not much, man. Just enjoying some time in upstate New York. Enjoyed.
Which is a lie because it was rained all weekend.
Yeah, but it's nice. It rained all week. It rained all weekend home.
Oh, that's true. That's
so
true.
At least I was able to hang out with friends and had a yummy cookout today, even though it rained. So we cooked inside and made some awesome ribs.
You cooked out inside?
I cooked out inside, yeah.
That's nice.
Inside Out, the movie plug.
It's okay. It's not great.
I played the Dylan guitar. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. It's nice. I liked it. I wish he lived local because I would have him set up all my guitars. Not, like, I do an okay job, but there's definitely a clear difference of somebody who's, like, a professional doing it, which right. is awesome. But also, I don't have time. Like, I have that, like, I have that Jag, and I haven't even set it up yet because I'm like, oh, I don't really have time right now. So, if you've ever played a Jag with that set up, it was kind of a nightmare. But it sounded good.
Yeah, that's right.
What's new with you? Got some new gear, so that was fun. I ended up getting... I don't know if I talked about that. I don't think I even touched on this yet. So I was debating about, so I bought a Klon clone and then I sold that because it was extra money. Like I made money on it. And then I bought I sold my Midnight 30 Overdrive by accident because it was just up on a stupid price for like $70. And somebody just finally bought it. And I was like, oh no, I like that pedal. And so I needed another light overdrive. So I was asking around and then we talked about this with the Joyo stuff. And I bought the Sweet right. Baby and I actually really liked it. It sounds awesome. I really like it. But for some reason, when I played it at church, I had a really high noise floor. So I was like, oh, on a light gain drive, it's not cool. Like, right. You click it on, and you're like, oh, that's noticeable. On a fuzz, like, whatever. You know what I mean? You play a fuzz, it's going to be loud anyway. So that was kind of annoying. And then it was, like, 4 in the morning last night, and I couldn't sleep because, like, one of the babies wasn't feeling good. And so I was on the Reverb, the worst place to go at 4 in the morning. That's actually their new tagline, Reverb.com, the worst place to go at 4 in the morning. And so I bought another Midnight 3 Overdrive pedal. But I lowballed the guy. He had it up for $75 or $80, and I offered him like $25, and he came back with $50. And I was like, "Oh, I got this guy." And I said $35, and then he's like, "No, man, I can't do that. I'm really sorry. It's practically new." And I was like, "It doesn't look new because it didn't, you know." Right. And he's like, "Oh, you got to go to the website." I said, "I'm from upstate New York. I know what the stuff's supposed to look like." Right. I said, "Those knobs look beat." And then so I was like, I'll pay $40. And he's like, fine. So I bought one for $50, sold it for $70, right. Bought another one for $40, shipped free shipping. Free shipping. I was like, that's like Joyo Land right there. Hey, what's up? You want to come on the show? Yeah, you want to come on the show?
Liza.
All right, say hi, Eliza.
Bracelet.
You're what? You got a bracelet? Show our audience, show our viewers the bracelet. Nice.
Nice and purple.
Purple. That's orange.
And that one's orange. That is good. Good job. That's.
She's kissing those.
She's dab kissing.
She's dab kissing. Or she's like kissing her wrist like the Hulkster.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a wrestler. Brother. She's like, mwah. Come on.
Yeah, so, look at these bracelets.
She's actually been on the show a couple times, but most of the time she's been quiet. But today she's jacked up.
Special guest star.
Hey, how many coffees have you had?
Two coffees.
You had two coffees. That's good.
She's on that. She's on a 60-second hump. She's on that new kid.
Elsa. I'm going to fight Noah Elsa.
Oh, you're watching Elsa with Noah? Is that what you said?
I'm going to watch that one.
So this is a double interview. This is nice.
Yeah.
That's Zach.
Yep, that is Zach. So anyways, if I can't get that Sweet Baby to sound... Okay, you might have to go, honey. Okay, say goodbye. Can you say bye?
We're going
to
get rid of this Sweet Baby.
So anyways, if I get that... If I can't get that Sweet Baby to sound good, I will just go back to that other pedal.
Right.
So it's funny, I just changed pedals for, you know, profit.
Right, yeah, that's pretty solid.
So that was interesting. And then, yeah, I got a bunch of, I have this 75 Strat, like, parts caster that I'm trying to basically get rid of. It's not like I don't like it, it's just that I really want to use the money to go to NAMM, like, to Summer NAMM. And right. So, and I also, because I definitely want to get that sinusoid tattoo, like the 67 hum sinusoid tattoo, but I'm having a hard time. Like, I have the money, I can go get it right now, but I have a hard time justifying doing that out of, you know, just monies that is sitting right. there. You know, like, if it's out of something that's just sitting upstairs, that's different. So, I said if my, if the Big Muff, I have a green Big Muff up, like, in my, I don't know, play area. I don't know what the heck you even call it anymore. Right. Loft. My loft. Guitar loft. And so, like, basically... Can't even right now. This is riveting podcasting right now. Riveting. So anyways, this is going to be a nightmare editing this one. So anyways, if I can sell that 70, I just have a hard time, like, so I have the money to get a tattoo,
right.
But because it's a joke tattoo, it's like, I don't want to spend money out of our savings or our regular checking account. Right. I have money sitting upstairs, and if I can sell something that I want, you know, that literally I have no money invested in, and I'll spend it however I want, you know?
Right.
So looking at doing NAMM, I think I need like, I don't know, $300 to $400 in gas money and then hotels and then, food money and stuff. So if I can get roughly around $500 cash and then enough money for a tattoo, then I think I'd be happy, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've had a couple of people offer me like $800, $900. I'd like to get somewhere in like the $950 to $1,000 range. Right. I only have, I have like $400 invested in it. So it's a good flip no matter what.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things, you know? So what else is up with you, man? Anything?
Not much.
Going back home
on Wednesday, making that drive.
How far drive is?
Like 10 hours.
That was it. How far is this of driving?
10 minutes.
No, it's not 10 hours, is it really?
Yeah, with stopping and stuff.
Oh no, I just pee in a cup. That's not true. I have done that on long road trips by myself for work. Yeah, I've peed. Not in a bottle, but like I remember a couple times I made poor choices and got like the 64-ounce soda like the gas station, and then like 30 minutes later, like I immediately regret this decision.
Yes.
And you just stop, so you're like, I don't want to do that again. So,
yeah.
So like, yeah, you. And I remember one time I drank 64 ounces or whatever it is, and then I peed 64 ounces.
That's crazy. There's one time I came down for Alan's wedding, or came up for Alan's wedding. I stopped to get gas, and the gas station
for Alan's wedding.
Yeah, northeast. Like, the gas station did not have a bathroom.
Oh, that's the worst thing ever.
I am not going to use the bathroom. So I got in my car, and I drove the rest of the way here, and then I used the bathroom when I got home.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that sometimes.
Because I was so mad. I got so mad I no longer had to use the bathroom.
Yeah,
I was like,
it was just anger.
The gas station doesn't have a bathroom.
You were just like, your pores were just leaking uric acid. Yeah. You were so mad. You were like all yellow.
Oh, Super
like,
Saiyan.
Esteban, you're poor. Yeah, so. All right, man. Well, have a good one.
Yeah.